Daf Mem Tesam Beis. Do we get to the? You have the mission?
Yeah, because I was asking about whether
you said just hold on.
A loosen, a woman that was had a loosen.
Actually, that comes out explicitly tonight. Funny that we had it. You asked me last night because it comes out explicitly in a few minutes. Okay, men tesam beis at the Mishnah. Loch yud. Iniach lo achim mos. Now this is actually a lot. These sugars are basically yevamim sugars. Iniach lo achim mos. If your brother, they say it's kismet. It's the way it is. Fate. Can't escape it. Iniach lo achim mos. If your brother left the dead brother left the money around after his death, so the Yavam must use it, Yilaka ben Karka, to take to buy land, Voka pears, from which he can eat the pears. Now the reason for that is that the Ksuva is still the only difference, as we shall see later, between a Yavam and a regular husband is that the Ksuva is still on the property of the first husband. So therefore that puts certain limitations on him. He cannot sell at will property which began to belong to the first husband. Why not? Because property which belongs to the first husband is stuff which is all meshubah to the ksuva. So therefore, he has to actually have her permission. Well, the one is going to discuss how it would work, how he possibly can sell her property. The property which belongs to the dead husband. It's not her property. It probably belongs to the dead husband because the lien of the ksuva is upon it. So therefore, even though normally if he inherits money, he can do whatever he wants with it, but in this case, not. In this case, Yilaka ben Karka, he's got to use it to buy land, Vuocha Peros, and he eats the fruits. Peros at Lushim in a Karka, if it's food which is severed from the ground, Yilaka ben Karka can use it to buy land, Vuocha Peros, and he eats fruit. Okay, so same idea. It's a fruit which is severed from the ground, so he's got to buy, you can actually sell that fruit, buy land, and he can eat the fruit of the land. Peros and Mechubar in Bakaka, what if the fruit is now attached to the ground? Our mayor said, "Shemnison kamei yofim peros." Look at how nice the field, what the value of the field is with the fruit. The kamei yofim lo peros, and what the value of the field would be without fruit. Va'mozar, and the difference yilokachem karka, because he's going to eventually cut off the fruit, right, and sell it. So whatever the difference in value is between the land now as it is with fruit and land as it will be bereft of fruit, he yilokachem karka. That difference he uses to buy land. Well, peros and he eats fruit. The Chachamim say peros and mechubar lakarka shelo, fruit which is connected to the ground is his. But lushim lakarka, that which is severed from the ground, called kaidem zacha. Anybody who gets it first takes it first. And Gemara is actually going to renege on this. Gemara says at this point that peros at lushim lakarka. Gemara Mishnah says at this point that peros at lushim lakarka, anything which is severed from the ground, is not really meshuba to the ksuva, right? Unless, for some reason, she manages to grab it, right? If he got it first, he gets it. Kodma he, what if she grabbed it first? So an interesting, yilokachem karka, of course, it's not fully hers, but it gets meshuba to her ksuva. Therefore, it's, at that point, he comes required to buy with it land, well, compared to which he can eat the fruit. Kinsa, once he was miyabim the yavama, she is his wife for all matters. With one exception, that her ksuva is still on the property of her first husband, not of her second husband. Rav Avraham Yochanan said, "Lachain tzrichem of kali metzlo." So say he says, you know what? That which it says his brother left the money. That money has to be taken to buy land from which you can eat the fruit. That's pashut. The chiddush is that even if the money was by him as a pikadum from before his brother's death, still it must undergo that fate. He doesn't inherit it. Of course, it goes without saying that the money was part of the estate at the time of his brother's death, so he does inherit it. But even if the money was not part of the estate, but rather was held by him in some sort of pikadum, he still has got to relinquish it to buy land, and he can only eat the fruit of the land. Shalom Tomei, you should not allow to say, Ho vani hua yoresh. Since I'm his heir, Shalian, so this money is mine, and I'm holding on to it, I'm not going to relinquish it. That's why I have to say that kind of tfisa, that holding on to it does not work. Rav Avraham Yehuda said, "Leis kan shalom." You know what? It says in the Mishnah, "Peres hamechubarim lekarka." The fruit which is connected to the ground, shalom, it belongs to him, to the yavam. No, it's a mistake. It's really shalom, but not really shalom. But it's a meshuvah Torah also, and therefore he has to use it to buy land. And give and he can eat the fruit, but the land is under lien to her because of her ksuva. El haida mila. So why is this mentioned separately? If really everything in the state goes to under shiba to ksuva, so why does it say peres mechubarim as a separate case? It also is no different than anything else which has to go under lien to her ksuva. So says our Gemara. El haida mila. Why is it mentioned? Shim kata mayoresh v'tofas. Interesting halacha. If the Yoresh came, the heir, meaning the Yavam, came and grabbed, right, then the Motzin Miyado, it says Emotzin, but it should be Motzin Miyado. Now, this is only the if you grab, if you grab the carbonator changes actually that that the Yoresh grabbed the Peres Mechubarim, we take them out of his hand. In other words, he has no right to hold on. Now that's a contradistinction to Tlushim. Tlushim, if he grabs, he has the right to hold on to Peres, which are already severed from the ground. But Peres Mechubarim Lakarka, he has no right to. If he agrees and he grabs on them, he doesn't get to keep them. They have to be sold to buy land from which she eats the fruit, but the land itself is underlined to the ksuva of this woman. So it's interesting halacha which comes out here. Everything in the estate, lock, stock, and barrel, is underlined to the ksuva of the wife, even after she goes and marries the yavam, after she misya bemis to the yavam. The one exception to that is peres hatlushim min hakarka, fruit which is severed from the ground, not money, but fruit which is severed from the ground. If he grabs it, he can keep it. But not peres hamechubarim lekarka. If he goes in the dead of night and harvests the land, harvests the fruit, he has to give that back. In other words, he has to sell it and buy sell the fruit and buy land from which he can eat the fruit. But the value of the fruit itself, since it was part and parcel of the estate, is underlined to Uksuv, and he has no direct jurisdiction over that.
Well, it's the fruit is still connected. It is connected to the land, so it's as if it takes on the properties of the land
right.
Itself.
That's what I'm saying, exactly. Now, so that's one of the questions, is Apa Balchovke? Is this true also by a creditor? Lokein Tanya, did we not learn? In this brisa, Yoresh Balchov, a Yoresh, an heir, or Balchov, or a creditor, should call them Echaman Vitofas, if one of them come and seized property. So we say, in this case, the carbonator learns that it's Ein Motzin Miyado, it's a contradiction. Here we don't take it from the hands of the grabber. So what do we do with this price? Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Acha Barula said, "Nishmina minada." Let's hear out of here that the Baal Chov, even if he grabs mechubarim stuff with the creditor, even if he grabs stuff which is connected to the ground, he doesn't have to relinquish it, as opposed to our Mishnah. Why, we'll see much later, but he doesn't have to relinquish it. Hikdish tishimana. So it's a very interesting case. Well, not very interesting, but somewhat interesting. Hikdish tishim mana. Somebody consecrates 90 bucks of vayachov omeya mana. But he owes somebody else 100 bucks. So needless to say, he had no right to be. He shouldn't have makdish this because, morally and ethically and halachically, he's required to give it to his creditor. Yet he was makdish his property. So in this case, mostly for dinar, the creditor comes, gives a buck to Hekdesh, that's it, something symbolic amount, who put in the chasim alone, and he redeems his property and takes it for his debt. Lo softa for a dinar, not a dinar, you don't even need a dinar, which is, let's say, a dollar. A field kosher, even a pruta. Only shloya Hekdesh nirak yotzi blo pidyon. Only that it shouldn't look like Hekdesh is exiting from its status of Hekdesh without any redemption whatsoever. Rabbi Yochanan said, yet, despite the fact that he can redeem it, at the time that it is hektish, molim me'ila gemura, it's considered to be a complete and total me'ila if one has benefited from it before it's redeemed, which argues on the immediately previous Gemara, which says that you can redeem it for a small amount because it is not really hektish. He's saying it is really hektish, just that later on, the guy who has the debt outstanding can come and undermine its hektish status. So now the Gemara asks a obvious question. The kasha, imol imbom ilo gmura, if there's complete and total ilo, which means it's bona fide hektish. If that's the case, yeah, nifta, when it's redeemed, it should be nifta, redeemed b'shava for its true value. And if ain't no nifta b'shava, if it's don't have to redeem it for its true value, so then lo imolu bo mi'ilu gmur, there shouldn't be considered to be complete mi'ilu on it. So it says marmana kaimen. What are you talking about? Imu chubula karka. You were talking about fruit which is still connected to the ground, absolutely, totally, lock, stock, and barrel. There's no mi'ilu at all. Kesh mi'ilu b'karka, is any mi'ilu by land, by real estate? What are you talking about? We're talking about, obviously, the prohibition of Mila. We're talking about Bekama. We're talking about grain which is already grown, but not yet severed from the land. Okay, it's grown. It's standing grain, but it's not yet severed from the land. It's not yet harvested. So in this case, the halacha is very interesting. If the gizbar, meaning the treasure of Hekdesh, of course, came and grabbed the grain while it was still growing and harvested himself, right? So in that case, emotzi miyodo. It's not really, you can't take away from him because he has the right to say, well, this was made hektish. And this was made hektish, it's my right to come and take it, right? Thank you. So there is me'ila, because now it's going to be totally mechubar lekarka. Because
it's not me'ila, though.
What is it for? Treasurer of hektish.
Oh. Why is it me'ila if he's taking it for hektish?
No. If the gizbar can come and take it, if somebody else comes and take it before the gizbar gets it, so that person does transgress me'ila.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Nevertheless, despite the fact that a person who comes and takes it does transgress me'ila, on the other hand, since it's not total hektish yet, because it's still connected to the ground.
Right, right.
And even though it's talking about kama homedes liktzor, it's grain which is on the verge of being harvested.
Right.
So it's in a twilight status. On the one hand, it can be made hektish, and there can be mila, because the gizbar could come at this point, grab it, chop it, and take it away as hektish. So therefore, it's considered to be hektish. On the other hand, there's not, and therefore there's mila, right? On the other hand, since hektish has not yet fully taken possession of it, just like roi to take possession, so therefore if somebody comes to redeem it, a creditor, who anyway has first dibs on this property, so he doesn't have to redeem it for its full value, he can redeem it for a symbolic amount, okay? Now, the only reason I can understand why this works, to be honest with you, is to say that we're dealing with here with the Rabbanans. The fact that let me wait to say that. Let me do a couple more lines. So says the Gemara.
I say it works.
What?
You know why I say it works.
But the bottom line here suffers. No. This is an anti-bottom line Gemara. Because the primary bottom line we're concerned with in Am Yisrael is Hektish's bottom line. And here the bottom line of Hektish suffers.
Yeah. Oh, my primary concern is not Hektish's, but the
yeah, but I don't think that's true usually. I think usually Hektish's bottom line would supersede a private person's bottom line. I can't prove to you offhand, but that's it seems to be my recollection. Anyway, so it says Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Avosh and Rabbi Yochanan said, at the short, let's say he said he by an ox, or let's apply this case to an ox, be more precise. What about if somebody was makdish an ox, right? A debtor was makdish an ox. Can a creditor come and take it after symbolic payment of a shavah bruto, right? Isloch meimar shor karka says more. No, you can't say that by a shore. So how would it? You can't say by a shore that shore is like karka. Now the way the Gilead of Ephraim explains it, it's cute. I'm not sure it's. I like it 100%, but I certainly don't have a better shot. The Gilead of Ephraim says that. More or less, though, with by an ox, you can redeem it for less than its full value. Is there such a scenario? Because by an ox, after all, in order to redeem it, although it doesn't say so in Ragmar, require hamadav arocha. You have to stand it up and reckon its value. And you can't, there's no stage where you can say that, well, it's not yet fully hektish because it's still mechuper lekarka by an ox, right? So therefore, where by an ox, if in order to redeem it, you have to give its full value, you have to stand up and reckon its full value, where by an ox, is there ever a parallel case where we would say that the creditor just has to redeem with a symbolic amount and he can get the object out to pay off his loan? Where do we have such a case? So it says Gemara, Amr Yochar, said, I'm sorry, Ritanu Marmoy, Shemi Yossi said, sure, also so kekti shuhuso. A very funny answer. He says, basically, the rabbis could do as they pleased. So he said, an ox, ha! It's like kekti which lost its value. Hi, it's a, you know, prize-winning, whatever they're called, Hereford, whatever they're called, you know, the prize-winning ox, right? So how can you possibly say that? Nishkafel, Rabbanu can say what they want. And here they did. So they said if it was turned out that the debtor sold the ox and there was a creditor instead, so Rabbanu would say, you know what, we're going to let this hektish be redeemed even for less than a shavu pruta. Okay? Oh, no, we're going to let this hektish be redeemed even for less than its full value. Of course, this be a shavu pruta, but even for less than its full value. Okay? Says more. Harcha at Omer Motzim Yodo. Came back to the original question. You said by a Yavam that if he grabs property, we take it away from him. The Kotman, you said by a Baal Chov that if you grab, or a Yoresh by an heir, if he grabs property, and what's in Yodo? We don't take away from him. Why is that? So I'll tell you why. Very logical reason. Lefisha Hirato Kocha Shel Isha. Since a woman's capacity, once her husband has died, is diminished. It's greatly diminished. Shlote ksuvasa el al nirsei bala rishon, because she only gets her ksuva from the property of her first husband, and zero from her second husband. So therefore, you pita kocha, since you made her power weaken in one sense, you weaken her power, strength the power in another sense. I'm sorry. What's that? If the Yoresh, the heir, came first and grabbed the property, we take away the property from him. So, I read that line not to the best advantage. Let me read that over again. The third line from the bottom. The fee she rat the kocha shalisha, since you gave the woman less power, her property is only included upon, her ksuva is only based on the property left over by her first husband. You gave her more power in this matter. If the Yorish comes and quickly grabs whatever stuff it is, the Yovel comes and makes a grab for whatever it is, we take away the property from him. So, one second. Right, okay. It's a Durabon. It's a simple Durabon. I mean, it's all Durabon, but the idea here is like this. By a Baal Chov. He has nowhere else to go. We're not protecting anything from him. From the debtor, from the creditor, either. He just takes what he can find. And he's allowed to keep it. By a woman, we need to provide her for protection. Why do we need to provide her for protection? Because her ksuva, if she gets a ksuva, her ksuva is only going to come from her first husband. So therefore, if in the case where we have a Baal Chov, who's actually the guy who's suffering, right, because he's a creditor out of his money, so if he goes and loan sharks, we let him keep the money, because else is going to collect from this deadbeat, right? By a woman, it's the exact opposite. If we let the Yavam keep what he grabbed, so it's going to deprive the woman of a potential shibud for a ksuva. Right? Because she only gets the property left from her first husband. So therefore, in the case of the Baal Chova, the creditor, we let him keep what he gets. Because he's a good guy. In the case of the woman, we don't let him keep what he gets because he's the bad guy. The good guy is the woman who's trying to keep enough property to sustain herself. Okay? So that's what it says here. We get back to more second line for the body. Yipisa kocha b'davar hazeh. You gave her this benefit. She incurred a yersh v'tofas. If the yavam comes to grab stuff, we'll team be able to take it away from him. Tani came. We also went like this. Ilaros uktasos. If you have trees which were cut, skenim unarim, older trees and younger trees. Motim yadon, these trees which are cut down by the yavam, we take away from him. Okay? Says the Mishnah further. But Yomar law, you shouldn't say to a woman, it's to any woman. You shouldn't say your property is, your ksuva is sitting on the table, go fetch. Go take it. Ella, rather, kol nechasai, all my property, achroin l'ksuva seich, is responsible for your ksuva, and that's what we say under the chuppah, right? All my property. Girsha, what if he divorced her? Ela l'ksuva. All she gets is a ksuva. Hichzira, if he takes her back, harei kachon nashim, she's like any other, in other words, obviously, takes back a woman, not when he divorced her. I'm not a coin of divorce, but if you take her back, is like any other woman, v'yesh lo ksuva. Now, of course, she gets a ksuva. Every woman's got a ksuva. I mean, she gets the major ksuva, which she had at the beginning, the 200, and not the minor ksuva of a bu'ula, which is 100. So a woman always reverts to a previous ksuva.
If he takes back the same woman that he divorced?
Mm-hmm. Right. Specifically under those conditions. Okay? Says Marketeros. How does he do? What does he want to do if he wants to get out of paying her ksuva? The oven. What does he do? So, Kones, he takes her in, and Megarishin divorces her. Umachzir, and he takes her back again. She submits to give up her ksuva. Amrabi Yosir, as you said, let's start in me. It's really two separate cases. Masnisa o shoveres lo ksuva. Masnisa o shoveres lo ksuva. I'm sorry, I read it wrong again. Amrabi Yosir, let's start in Masnisa. Amrish is two separate things. It shouldn't be. It's not Kones Umagarish Umachzer Vihi Shoveres Lo Ksuvasa. That he's got to go through the motions of a, like the price at the beginning of the Gemara, that's what's going on. He has to go through the meaningless ceremony of the taking her in, then divorcing her, then returning her again. You know what? That doesn't even work, as we'll see momentarily. Rather, what do you do? We do have to go to the meaningless ceremony. I apologize. You have to go to the meaningless ceremony, but the Gemara is going to enhance it to make it less meaningless. So you have to go in order for him not to be chayev the ksuva anymore on the basis of his brother, which of course is very disadvantageous to him. Why is it disadvantageous to him that he's chayev the ksuva on the basis of his brother? It's kind of based on his brother, that means that every single stitch of property which his brother left over is under lien. He can't invest a thing. It's not his. He doesn't have the right to invest it. He's got to keep it under lock, so to speak, in order for it to be ready for her in case she needs to get her ksuva. He don't like that. So he's going to try and find a way to convince her to relinquish her lien on anything other than the basic 200 of the ksuva, whatever is coming to her. So that Gemara says, so at first, let's start from the other Gemara again, because I wasn't really paying attention. Kate says, so what does he do? Kones, he takes her in a Megarish and then divorces her. Umachs here and then takes her back. Vishavas lo ksuvasa, and she writes him a receipt for a ksuva. That's the Gemara. Rabbi Zira b'shem, Rabbi Nuna said, Kansa v'girsha v'chzira. I'm sorry, skip. Rabbi Yossi, it's either or. either he divorces her and then remarries her, and then her ksuva is on her second husband, or she writes a receipt for a ksuva, and then she, of course, doesn't get a ksuva. Right? Amrei Yisrael said, study Masis is two separate things. O Shveres lo ksuva, it's either she writes a tina ksuva, or one of the other options. Rabbi Zir B'Shem Rabbi Nuna said, Kintza v'yichzir sh'v'yichzir. Now, even if you do our mishnah suggested thing, you take her in, right? And then you divorce her, and then you take her back again. Im chidesh lo ksuva, if he gave her ksuva, ksuvasa al nechasa, then her ksuva is on his property. You lav, and if not, ksuvasa nechse ba'al rishon. Her ksuva goes back to her original husband, who has to pay for it. Rabbi Yossi said, "Masnis omer keh." I don't understand. Our mishnah does our mishnah say that? It says, "Hamagarish is isha." So he divorced his wife, vichzira, and took her back. Amanas ksuva, so isha nichzira takes her back for her first ksuva. Sof davar, so ask the Gemara, ach yichnos vi yigarish vi yachzir. It says here that until you take her back, until you divorce her, he take her as Yavama, divorce her, and then take her back, until then you're chayiv in the same ksuva. So what's Rabbi Zira saying? That you're not chayiv in the same ksuva. What was it, Rabbi Zira? What's that? He has to take her in and divorce her and take her back again. So if that's the case, what is Rabbi Zera saying? That's actually a quote from the Braisa. So what's Rabbi Zera saying, which is not in the Braisa? So it says, the Rabbi Aslamei Marcha. He's going to tell you a greater Kiddush. This is what we've been saying kind of all along in our running commentary here, that Afilu Yichzir Kitsa V'Girsha V'Girsha, if you divorce your Yavama, you took her in, you divorced her, and then you took her back. Im chidesh lo nichsev, the only time it's considered to be a new thing is im chidesh lo ksuva. If you gave her a new ksuva, then ksuva so chasa, then the ksuva is on the property of the second husband. Im lav, and if not, on the yavam, right? Im lav, and if not, ksuva so nichsev bala rishon. Ksuva is on the property of the first husband. So what I'm trying to say, although I obviously it's not coming across properly, and when I'm reading the Gemara inside, what I'm trying to say is a very simple thing. Rabbi Zira says, it's not enough for him to divorce her, to take her in, divorce her, remarry her. It's to take her in, divorce her, remarry her, and then offer her a new ksuva. Because if he reverts to the earlier ksuva, so then it reverts to all the earlier terms of the ksuva. And the earlier terms of the ksuva are what? That the ksuva is on her first husband. So the only time that she can get out of that is if he divorces her and says, and now when I take you back, I'm sorry, but take you back on the different terms, not on the same terms you had before. It's not clear?
It's clear, but that doesn't sound like it's fair to her.
Well, actually, this is better than the alternative, I think. The alternative is that he compels her to write a receipt. You know, she didn't get anything.
Yeah. It's not fair that he would divorce her purely for monetary reasons.
He might divorce her because he fell out of love with her. And he took her back when he fell in love with her again. Possible. Love conquers all. Right? We're getting married soon?
Something like that.
Says the Gemara.
Even woke up for that.
Rabbi Zira Shem, So Nevet, so in order to get the ksuva off her the first husband, she has two opportunities. Either Shavaris, or an order for him. Actually, it's really advantageous for him. It's not advantageous at all for her, right? I guess it could be advantageous for her. It's not true. If the first husband was dirt poor as a church mouse, excuse the expression, and the second husband is rich and wealthy, so it's better for her actually to get her ksuva off the hook, right? And she'll get a new ksuva from the second guy. So that would be in case, not a case for her to write a receipt, because her writing a receipt relinquishes all rights of the ksuva. Rather, it's a case for her to leave her present job, so to speak, and go to the other job, leave her present husband's estate, to be precise. The other husband's estate, that she have a richer, wealth in order to rely on her ksuva. And then in that case, she would probably agree to have the old ksuva ripped up and make a new one by getting divorced and getting remarried. Okay? So in any event, it says more further. Rabbi Zira, Shem Rabbi Nuna said, Rabbi Zira said, name Rabbi Nuna, Arusa Shemesa, if a woman who's a betrothed died, ain't look ksuva. Now, obviously, the Kargilin Ephraim points out, ain't look ksuva cannot mean that she doesn't get a ksuva. Of course she doesn't get a ksuva. Which women get ksuvas? Women whose husbands die or divorce them. But here, who died? She died. Right? Arusa Shemesa. So how she get... Well, of course she doesn't get a ksuva, right? It's like a chiddush, ain't look ksuva. Why would she get a ksuva? Her husband is alive and kicking and never divorced her. So what do you think the Gilin Ephraim says, Dr. Spadel? What does ksuva mean here? She doesn't get kvura. She doesn't get kvura.
Oh, kvura.
Kvura. Buried. Her betrothed fiance says, says, let her rot! Right? Because I wasn't married to her. His ksuva here means in the larger sense, the chiyuvim of a husband to his wife. So he has no chiyuvim because he never married her. He was never fully married. Okay? Let the carcass rot in the sun. Says the Gemara, again, Arusa Shemesa in the ksuva shlohuchali nasa lashuk. The only time she gets the ksuva is when she's permitted to marry the marketplace because her husband died or divorced her, right? So this is not the case here. Shlo Tomai, don't say, yes, it can be shigarish. This is like a terminal divorce, right? So you don't say this is like a terminal divorce, and therefore she gets the benefits listed to a wife in a ksuva. No. That's what you say. Ain't look ksuva, she doesn't get a ksuva. Okay, now we have a very interesting sequence of events. In the olden days, maybe we make that triple olden days. In the olden days, the money for a ksuva was held in escrow by her parents. Well, the money was not money which is in play for him. And there's anyway money which is separated from him, so it would be relatively easy for him to divorce his wife. You see why? Because already that money is that fine is out of his hands. Why should he be concerned with it, right? So, that her husband should have the ksuva in his escrow account, at his jurisdiction, disposal and supervision, right? Nevertheless, it was very easy for her husband, relative to the pains to divorce his wife, right? Why was the pains to divorce his wife?
Was an escrow.
What? Right, because in any way, he couldn't use it anyway. Couldn't spend it anyway, right? So it says, so therefore, the Chosovis Kino, they made it, they decided to make the Kino, Sheye Odom Lokeb, Ksuvas Ishto, person goodbye for his wife, Ksuva, Kaisois, cups, Kaoris, plates, Tamchuim, pots. So now he's already invested in it. And therefore, he doesn't want to give up all that stuff he has invested in order to divorce her. So that's an incentive for him not to divorce. Honey, that's what she learned. A person should not say to his wife, how your ksuva is here on the table in front of us. Ella, rather. all of his property is under lien for the ksuva. Chazaviskino, then they made yet another takona. Now he should buy household objects with it, because maybe he'll just hurl the household objects at her, or send her out with the household objects. Rather, what did they made a takona? Sheyodam noisei, benoisei b'ksuvazisho. A person should actually have business dealings with his wife's property. Shemitok sheyodam noisei benoisei b'ksuvazisho. Since he's using his wife's tula as investment capital, and he's very likely he's going to lose it, and then he's going to have to make restitution for some other source. He cuts the main of the gashra. He really doesn't want to divorce her. So it's best to use your wife's property to play the stock market, okay? Because then you might be much more loath to divorce her. That's what it says here. Sound advice, okay? Not really, but maybe back then it was.
The market goes down like this.
Yeah. Says Voy Hiskin. Here we said, who made the Tarkana? Shimon Chatach, thank you. So says Raviskin. What? Vuhu. Vuhu and he, who the where made this takona, the Shim Bechatach, the Vuiskin Shim Bechatach, Vuiskin Shim Bechatach Shloshadvar. He, Shim Bechatach, made three takonas. One is this one, Sheodam Noisiv Noisiv Susish, a person should be able to use his wife's ksuva in order to vest. Two, Shira Tigunakos only based on safer. Their kids should go to school. It sounds like even girls had mandatory education back then. And three, Vuitskin Tumulakle Sukhus. He decided that glass vessels are Makabo Tumor. And the reason is because, why would glass vessels not be Makabo Tumor? Oh, it's a good thing he didn't make the tape. Why would he say that glass vessels are Makabel Tumah? It's like metal, they can be melted down. They're like metal. So therefore they make zero rabbanan that they're Makabel Tumah.
Glass can be melted.
As opposed to cheres.
Yeah.
Must be
they took sand and they melted sand.
Right.
Yeah, that was glass. How they made the glass.
I think that's how they recycle glass, too. Okay. I'm pretty sure you can melt down glass. Suzuka, you can melt down glass?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay. Do you know that gas is actually, I think I remember one of the few things I actually remember, even though I made every effort I possibly could to forget, I think one of the few things I remember from high school chemistry is that glass is a liquid and not a solid.
Friend.
Do you know that?
Very, very slow.
It moves.
Yeah, if you look at panes of glass that are years and years old, you'll see it's heavy on the bottom and the top. It's thicker.
Did you pass your Regents in chemistry?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh,
I took chemistry.
That was smart.
That was one of the shocking things.
One of my kids asked me about bonds between molecules. He asked me yesterday about the bonds in the salt molecule. I forget what he asked me. Are they ionic or some other word?
Oh,
yeah. It is ionic.
I know that because salt right. has...
Because it separates.
Yeah, but what's the other one?
Covalent.
The covalent, right. Do you remember the difference? I had no clue about physics and covalent. You probably never knew what they were, right? a real Torah modernist. Okay, I'm proud of you. Okay. Okay. They must have had it in medical school.
Shares the electrons.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, I have no clue. I have absolutely no recollection whatsoever. Zilch. Okay.
It's a good shock in science, but the brain cells keep growing until you die.
Oh, yeah?
Today's New York Times.
What?
Today's New York Times.
So how come people, when they get older, don't can't think as much? It should be the opposite, then.
Yeah, I'm not. It's up to a certain age.
It's
new.
What?
It's up to a certain age.
Yeah, they, no, it just slows down.
Anyway, so in a... Okay, I don't accept it either. So, so in any event, we see that he made takana. Says more one all these takana. Says more one second. Located Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Avuna, B'shem Rabbi Yeri, Rabbi Yossi, B'shem Rabbi Yeri, Yossi, Ben Yosser, Ish Trey, Yossi Yochan, Ish Shulaim. These two, that set, which is earlier, goes through two more at a time. They decreed that the chutzar to storme. About Kli's glues and that glassware is Mekabel Tuma. Says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Bar Tavi, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Tavi V'Shimon Shetach. I'm sorry. Then Rabbi Yona, they both said Yehuda Bar Tavi V'Shimon Shetach Gozal Kli Machos. They, you know, into a, whatever they're called, a furnace, and you remake it, then the shame Tuma comes back. That was their Takana. Okay, the Tuma, the metal. Yeah. Yeah.
It loses
its own, but if you reforge it, it gets its tumor back again. A metal vessel, when you break it, loses its tumor. Forge it again, it gets its tumor back.
As opposed to a clay terrace.
Once you break it, it's broken. Right. So it says Gemara, Bil v'shamai gozru, they made a decree on Gzir Tarasidayim that you have to wash before the tumor. Rabbi Yisrael Moshem Levi said, so who made the takana? Was it Yosef ben Yehuda, Yosef ben Yochanan, or Shimon Shetach Yehuda ben Tabai? Says, Makachos halacha b'yon, they had such halacha, v'shchachu, and they forgot it. V'am v'ashnim, and the second ones arose, v'skun da'atzu Yishraim, and they came to the same inclusion as the first ones. So that's why this, both the later and earlier generation have mentioned this context. Ma'amelcha teach us, shekol dover shebeis yinosev esnaf shom olav beitim beisiz moisir nefesh for. So eventually they re-remember it. Eventually later down the line, they'll remember this takana. If the original mitaklim had the l'shem shemayim, then later on, other people down the line will remember this takana. Says the Gemara, k'mo shenema, it's the Moshe Mesinai. It becomes firmly embedded in their minds as if it was stated halach l'moshe Mesinai. V'as the Gemara, the Mara b'yachimana, and so Gemara says, if a person cannot be mechavin to our concept, im reku, kilos of a reku, the Torah is not an empty thing, whom he came from you, im hu ki chayechem is your life force, im reku mi kem, if it is empty for you, lama, why is that? She'en atem ye game, but you don't toil into her sufficiently. Ki chayechem, because it is your life force. When is it your life force? Bishasha Tem, you gain bow when you are toiling at it. Okay? Says the mission further. Anjal Risha Shinaflu, Perak, Kosev. Hakosev Ishtal Dinat Dvorim. So he writes to his wife, Dinat Dvorim, in other words, any litigation, Eli bin Chasaych, he renounces all claims to a property. So, says Zamora, surprise, it's baloney. Raise Ocho. Right. Harizel compares, he continues to eat fruit. He may so, and if he, from these fields. He may so, and if she dies, your Shoah inherits her. Okay, Lama Kasala Dinavar. So I write, Dinavarim, I have nothing to do with you. And Chasaich means, she Machavana Sakaim, always giving your permission to do is the relatively narrow confines of buying and selling fields. Okay? Kasala Dinavarim, Anli Olaich, Uber Peru Sayim. If he says, I have no claim on you, neither for the fruit itself, nor for its fruit.
The land or the fruit,
right. He doesn't get to eat the honey in her lifetime, right? The mesa, he doesn't get to eat the fruit in her lifetime. The mesa, if she dies, you are sure. You still inherit her. It's just a bad for you in food during her lifetime. Rabbi Yudomer, long local pears, he always eats the fruit of the fruit. In other words, it doesn't stop anywhere down the line. It's like, Tzara. Right, it transfers from Tzara to Tzara. So to his relinquishing, renouncing all rights, continues from crop to crop to crop. Hachiyichtav lo until he writes it, unless he writes there. Dino dvar enli bin chasayich uperusayim. Uperusayim adol relinquishes all possible rights in it for all generations down. Kasav lo, if he writes there, Dino dvarim enli bin chasayich uperusayim uperusayim b'chayech u'moseich. Even you're alive, and even with your dead, ain't oil appears any fruit during your lifetime. The Mason, since he said even when you're dead, ain't Yorsha, he doesn't inherit her, right? No. You can't get out of inheriting. Mason Yorsha, if she dies, you inherit her. I mean Nesha Kosu Nesha he Mashakosu Torah, not to inherit her is a Tanaya Mashakosu Batora, making an addition against her to the Torah. Chamas the mashkasa, but turn anybody says he can establish the Torah to know about till his condition is null and void. Rabbi Yochanan, B'shem Rabbi Yana said, B'shalokanas. If you want to relinquish your property, say, this is a very fundamental sugi actually. You want to say, Dino dvarim en mechasayich. You come to your wife and say, my dear, I have nothing to do with your property anymore. How much can she rely on that? You go home tonight. Garnished, right? Why is that?
Because he doesn't mean it.
Words are cheap. Talk is cheap, right? However, what?
As we
learned
in the afternoon.
Were you hear something?
What?
Were you hear something? Yeah. Review? If, however, you already married her, the Din of Dvarim does no good because you cannot lose your rights rights you already possess. You can reject rights which are supposed to come to you, say, I don't want them. But rights which are already yours, you can't reject just with words. The only way you can reject them is with deeds. Okay? So it says, or a certain strong type of words, we shall see. So, the words of Rabbi Chiya teach us, Homer Yodimus, Yodimus, Lokos, Mina Soda, Lazu. Person says, my hands are removed from this field. Raglimus, Lokos, Mina Soda, Zu. And my legs are removed from this field. I want to be removed from this field. I tell you this, I want to be removed. Lo amavlokum, it's not valid at all. Why? Because it's Dvarim Bama. Is not sufficient language in order to lose your property. What about the Tzniyah Tamar? We learned over there. Mishael Nosu Shtei Noshim Tzai was married to two wives. Umbachas Aslan and he sold the field. The Kosser Yishan Lelokech and the first wife said to the buyer, Dino Dvarim Ainli, I relinquish all possible claim on this. Amenashniyah, the second wife, she didn't write that. Well, Tzim Lelokech, she didn't get up and take it from the buyer. Holy Yishan Lelokech, but not the first one. So we see that her writing, she relinquishes all rights, suffices, even though she already had full of the property. Says Amar, no. Very cute answer. He said, Kogama Amara. All of this precisely teaches us, She'ein Adam Abid is Chusa B'Loshen Hazeh, that a person cannot loses his rights in this fashion. Why? Because here it should be instead of Elokan Elokane. If that was the case, Afilu even it should be Mideshniya Lotushana. First one should not take from the second one. The opposite of what it says here. And it's a fascinating thing. It really is very interesting that you have a case like this. The first woman, Sarah, writes about Azan Shabi and Ainli Dinadvar. Whatever you get, I have no rights, but I relinquish, I renounce all rights. Second woman didn't write it. So what happens now? Their husband dies, and they need to get money for the ksuva. So the second husband goes and grabs from the customer, to whom she never relinquished the rights. Now, the first wife goes to grabs from the second wife. Because to who did she renounce her rights?
To herself.
To the buyer. She said to the buyer, I have no rights on this. But if the second wife, who didn't renounce her rights to the buyer, went to the buyer and took back the field, now the first wife could take it from the second wife. Amazing concept, isn't it?
Makes sense.
Aye! So if that's the case, it must be that we hold dinu dvarim doesn't matter, right? So why, you know, the fact that she announces is insufficient, so why she can't take back from the the property herself, right? The first wife. So I'll tell you why she came, because he calls seven slow. She wrote to the buyer, Kol arar shish basada zu, any protest I have in this field, I hili imach, I'm not going to have with you. So it's interesting what she says here. Dinu dvarim, to renounce all my rights in the field that I can't do when I already own the field. Maybe beforehand, there's more we'll ask in the middle, what about what can I do before? But I can't renounce it at the time. I already own it. But what I can do is I can agree that non-aggression pact. In other words, if you buy the field, I'm not going to make you trouble for it. But if my co-wife gets the field from you, then I can go after her because I didn't relinquish my ownership. Okay? So it says more. Shkengel says, "Okara Rosh Yeshiva Besada. Any protest at the field zoo in this field, I yeli yemachum. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Kasav lo v'kas kasav tolo, kas vasalo. Just if the she writes, she wrote to him. He wrote to her. I'm sorry, and she wrote to him. They both. It seems like the husband and wife wrote to each other. One said dinu dvarim mainly, and the other said dinu dvarim may have nothing to do with yours, and the other said I have nothing to do with yours. So it was a very romantic marriage they had, right? So because each one said they relinquished their rights, their property rights. Kishem she'ena ma'abed tzchuso, just like he doesn't lose his, because it's an asmachta, where he didn't have in mind actually to relinquish his roots, his rights. Right, kachishin ma'abes chusa, so too she doesn't lose her rights as well. Kasa min eres misui. Now, what if he wrote a language? I'm misalik myself from any property you have, both in eresin and both in nisuin. Now, that's superfluous because, of course, eresin has no rights to the property yet. It's only after nisuin that he has rights, right? So, what's this teaching us? This redundant language. This min eresin min nisuin. Right, but you just say, "Mina erus nisuin is not going to be not going to do X." What does an erus mean on nisuin? So it says, "Gemara plutha beisham beisulz machlokes beisul beishamai." How Dadi beishamai, according to beishamai, she wrote to him. Let's say she wrote. No, let's see. It doesn't matter. Yeah, okay, I got it now. He wrote to her, I'm misalik myself in erusin min nisuin. Any problem which comes to you both while you're betrothed and while you're fully married. So, parents, mitzvahs b'sham b'sol. Adai b'sham b'karen b'sol, timkor, she can still sell the property. I mean, she can sell the property. Not she can still sell something. She can sell the property. Why? Because he renounced the rights. He renounced it. And he renounced it before the marriage began. Because now they're only betrothed, not married. When does he really get rights to a property?
After.
So if he just renounced it by saying erusin, obviously it doesn't work. Even if he just renounced by saying nisuin, that doesn't work either. But if he said erusin, nisuin, beisham, that's good. But still it says no, lotim kor, that doesn't rid her of the onus. She still can't sell the property. What if he wrote to her, I have no claims to lay against your property. and then she gets property later on. Wow, what do I say in this case? Do I say perhaps that that he can be mistalik because he doesn't yet own the property? We said in our mouth that the only time he can't be mistalik is when he's already in the property, right? But now he says it's true he's already in some property, but other property falls to him later on. So can he be mistalik from that? So says Mar, no, I'm Rabbi the Yesh Adam Master of Dover Shinner Birshuso. You can't make a condition saying which not your source, like a Dover Shabalim. You can't make conditions on it. Fascinating concept. What happens is that we had a question when he wants to mistalik himself from property which will fall later on. So says Mar, he can't do a property which will fall later on either. Why he can't do a property which will fall later on? Because it's not yet his. You can't make conditions on a Dover Shabalim like that. Okay? Is that clear what I just said? You can't make a difference on Dover Shalom below. All right, Rabbi Boom Bar Chia, Kumi Rabbi Zira.
It's not Dover
Shalom
below.
Well, I'm sorry, Dover Shalom below. It's not his jurisdiction to make conditions. All right, Boom Bar Chia, Kumi Rabbi.
Yeah, still the same issue of lack of Gemara status.
Yeah, right. And therefore, what he said is also still just words. All right, Boom Bar Chia, Kumi Rabbi Zira. Mizchusat lo made Chiyuvo. From his merit, you learn his demerit. How do you learn that? From his merit, you learn his demerit means like this. If he already can eat fruit, he has achilas peros. It's too late for him to be mistalik. He can't be mistalik himself at that point. Because even though he's not already in the field, what we said on Rav is that he's already in the field, he can't be mistalik by words. He's got to make a kin in order to remove himself. If he already has the rights to something, he can't be mistalik himself. Here he already has the rights, right? Because he's fully married to her. What's the reason why he can say so about Nechasim Shiyipulullah? Because he already has the right to Nechasim Shiyipulullah. That's precisely the point. Since he already has those rights, to relinquish them requires what? An actual transaction. You can't relinquish them just by saying words. So that's what it says. First of all, to say Vishnu Maso Darvashena Bishuso, right? There are Boon Boon Bar Chiyu Kumar Vizier, Bishusa Lamed Chiyuvo. So, Ella Lo Kasav Lo, do you think if he didn't write to her this, should be Shema, Ein Lo Achilos Peros? Does he not have Achilos Peros? In other words, if he didn't write, regardless, he has the right to Achilos Peros, so having Bishusa Lamed Chiyuvo from Bishus, which already has, you learn his Chiyuv, meaning that he cannot be Mistalik, since he already has Achilos Peros. Rabbi Leib Bar Chitzu, which is one more line. Rabbi Leib Bar Chesa Boy Goboy Kasav Lo Adina Dvarim El Chesaycha Tidinli Po. What if he wrote, I don't have any rights to your property which are going to fall to you eventually. Now, I'm not sure exactly I know what the difference is. Excuse me, I remember. The difference is, in the previous case, he wrote Dinu Dvarim El Chesaycha, which is written in the here and now. In the Chesaycha. The question we're asking is, what is that relative? It won't work for the property he owns here now, but is it work for the property he owns, he's going to own afterwards? And the Gemara said that doesn't work. Because right now he already has the schus, right? So since he already has the schus now, he can't remove himself from it by words, even vis-a-vis property which is going to fall afterwards. So that's more fine. But what if he says, I'm astonished not from what I have now? And that doesn't work. And me go that doesn't work. Because I have a right to Achilas Peros, it doesn't work on anything in the future either. But if he wrote, I'm mistalik from all future rights. Or he said, I'm mistalik from all future rights. Where it's like he said, I know I can't be mistalik from that which I already have. Something I own, I can't remove myself just by words. And even so, if I say I randomly remove myself from something I already own with words, it doesn't work for anything I'm going to get in the future. But if I say explicitly, I don't want anything in the future, and I limit it to the future, And that's like writing, like before we said, Rai Kosov Law, Mina Erusin, Mina Nisun, you wrote already before you got married, about after your marriage. So what's the status in that case? So it says, well, here again, it doesn't work. Yeshna Masna, Davar Sheina Ba'olam. He can't make such a tonight. He's really stuck. He can't make it tonight. And actually, we have no answer to this tonight, even though we'll stop here. Maybe we'll see tomorrow night. When can he write this phrase? I mean, the Eros in me said before going to the base, so he can't write it. It's too early. He doesn't yet have it. I mean, I assume he already can't write it because he already owns it. It's too late to write it. On property which he already owns, he can't say it because he already owns the property. It's too late to write it or say it. On property which is coming to him, he can't say it because it can't say anything on Davar Shabola or Davar Shein or Bershuso. So right now, the Gemara hasn't yet answered really when he can say it. So we'll stop here for tonight.
Thank you.
There is something like that. I forget exactly what it is. I think it's going to come up. But some precise point at which you can do it. And afterwards you can't. Before you can do it, afterwards you can't do it.